Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we'll hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about October and Respect Life Month. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. Sunday, November 2nd, a special All Souls Day Mass honoring the dearly departed will be celebrated at 2 p.m. in the Seaside Funeral Home Chapel, 4357 Ocean Drive, with Monsignor Richard Shirley presiding. A number of deacons of the diocese will bless graves following the Mass. Everyone is invited to bring a framed photo of loved ones who've passed on. For complete information on this memorable event, please call 992-9411.
From 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th, you and your family are invited to enjoy waffles, children's games, refreshments, and many different live musical groups at the fundraising Jamaica for the construction of a new church. The parish of Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos Madre de Iglesia is in need of a church building at 1755 Frio Street in the Los Encinos neighborhood. Father Jose Angel Salazar, parish administrator, asks that you come by and enjoy the festivities that day. To hear all about it, call 361-852-0249.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very fine, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hope you had a good week.
I have had a very good week. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Well, our gospel today is from St. Matthew, so let's prepare to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us, then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to take the opportunity to talk about Respect Life, because October is Respect Life Month. And, you know, Bishop, it was interesting, as I was reading about this and preparing for it, I hear Respect Life, and I'm thinking, of course, the unborn, and I'm thinking about the end of life. But, you know, as someone says, that dash is, you know, the beginning and
big.
The end. So, well, Respect Life covers everything.
You and me. It covers
all of us.
You know, exactly. And, you know, I'm glad to take this opportunity. I was actually out of town on the Sunday that we pre-recorded that Sunday. I was out of town this Sunday, first Sunday of October, when we had really Respect Life Sunday for the diocese and for the church, universal,
right,
actually. But it is important that we take just a moment to reiterate, and I don't think the gospel is alien to this discussion.
No.
Because our country, other countries, make laws. A secular society has the right to make laws which order the people, help, but it should never, ever make laws that violate the dignity of the human person. And this is where the church comes in. And we have, as church, we have a place in the market square, you might say, of ideas, the marketplace of discussion, on, and it's particularly on this issue. Because there is, I think, overall a false sense of freedom. We always talk about rights, freedoms, etc. But the basic freedom is the freedom to live, the freedom to participate, the freedom to dignity, to have a dignified life. And the very core of the pro-life movement, the very core of life, is our human dignity as people created in the image and likeness of God. Now, some may not even talk in those terms, believe those terms, believe that that is a natural right by our birth that we have. And yet, that is what conscience is about. Our faith illuminates that for us. The problem so often is that reason and faith in these discussions don't meet. People use only reason. Well, you can justify anything with your mind only, and say, well, this is better. But when you add the element of faith from a Judeo-Christian source to begin with, the whole scripture speaks to us about life, of God creating life. The book of Genesis begins with, it is God who creates, a God who brings to life. It is the Spirit of God breathing. And so, and then Jesus brings us, as the Messiah, as the Redeemer. He is the incarnate Word. He is the Word of God made flesh to enlighten our minds of the real truth. And as we saw in the gospel, we see that you are a truthful man. More than a truthful man, he is the truth. And so for us who live faith, who are blessed with the gift of faith, that faith has to come into play in understanding these issues about life. And so I say that because we do have a voice in the arena of all the issues, as you said, from the conception to the end, and that long dash in between. We do have a voice in the issue of life, because we are protecting, we are calling society, we're first of all calling ourselves to respect life. And, I would encourage, because I am the pastor of the Catholic church in this area, I would really, if any of our people have any kind of other notions which are more in tune with the rational approach to this, to please spend time in front of Almighty God with your own life, placing your life in His hands, and ask yourself some really deep questions about life. We have to dialogue with our Lord and God in terms of faith about life. And so the first, of course, I think if we could just name some of these issues and how important they are to society. And I want to say that we're talking about none of these issues restrict freedom.
Right.
These issues actually express freedom. And to think that, having the right to abort a life, a child, is an expression of freedom, it is an expression of enslavement. Because I have put myself over God, put myself over every life. And one the taking of one life in the womb is then a threat to all of us. That's where life begins. I'm sure all of us have had this experience, and I don't have time to garden too much, but I do like to plant little basil. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen the seeds, they're very small, but I've just planted some new ones. And just watch it. But they began with a seed.
That's right.
And they're a beautiful plant in just 2 months, a beautiful. I can be personal, I made a little pesto sauce last night.
Of course. You harvested.
I harvested it. But what a gift, and what a freedom to do that. What a joy to watch that grow. Why we cannot take a simple analogy of that and to see that without that seed, without the water, without the care, taking them in maybe during a storm, that seed would not grow. And how we cannot transfer that simplicity to a life, a life in the womb. To call that life an inconvenience, to call that life a burden, It's just unthinkable for us. How is that freedom? Because we're all with the gifts that we're given, we also have responsibilities. And if a life is brought, no matter how it comes into to being through conception, it's a life. Mm-hmm. That's supreme, and we cannot violate that. Otherwise, we violate our freedom, not only their freedom, the freedom of the unborn, but also our freedom.
Well, and the freedom can come into the choice of what to do after the baby's born. You know,
sure.
If it's a child
sure.
that, you know, you
a family member of mine just adopted
exactly.
a child, and oh my gosh, the joy.
Oh, I know, and I've had friends that have adopted.
Sure.
It is.
And just the joy of that, and you look at that little child and think what could have happened. I mean,
exactly.
It's inconceivable, but that is really the sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fool ourselves by distorting the meaning of rights and freedom. That child in the womb also has rights. That child also has the dignity of God and is to be offered freedom in life. Other issues, and of course that's core to us, it's the beginning of life, but I think we also need to look at other issues, which the Respect Life Month should look at, people with disabilities. We have a
right.
wonderful program here for people with disabilities. I had the Mass with them a few weeks ago, and you know, people that either can't see or are mentally challenged, can't hear. So we had the signers there, the beautiful yeah. people that signed for us during the Mass. I mean, and what a joy. I mean, these people are a gift to us.
Right.
That's freedom. When I as a person, you know, can say that someone who is maybe handicapped or has disabilities, when that person can give me joy, that's freedom. I can accept
yeah.
that. To cut ourselves off from the receiving from other people simply because by our standards they're not whole, and this is what's happening with our technology. We go in and say, well, this child's going to have maybe, and that's the other problem, maybe going to be facing these things. How can we play God
right.
over that? But to know and to be free enough in ourselves to accept that person who may have a disability as a gift to me. And that's where our selfish sense says, no, I don't want to have to face that. And also to be around the parents and the people, the teachers that share their life. I mean, it's a wonderful, it's a community building effort. And so we need to respect those with disabilities. We need to be there with them, help them, invite them in. They're not a burden. They're a gift. And once we are free enough, and this is where we lack freedom, once any of us is free enough to say every person like that is a gift, then we're really free. And then we know what real freedom is, a freedom that does not come just from an external
thoughts and
an external liberation from burdens,
right?
But a free interior freedom that says this person is a gift to me.
Well, when I look at it also, persons with disabilities are just as much God's children of God as I am a child
oh,
of God.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't judge.
And the bottom line is life.
Exactly.
They have life. They've been given
exactly.
a life, and they've been given a dignity. And I can respect that, and I can be free enough inside myself to cherish that
mm-hmm.
and to receive from it. I mean, that's the thing. I think we always push people aside that are different than we are because we're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But if I seek true freedom, that person is a gift, not someone to be feared.
And they have gifts and talents
Absolutely.
That we don't have that they can share with us. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation on Respect Life.
Make your plans now for the 2015 Diocese of Corpus Christi Ministry Conference entitled The Family Fully Alive, at the American Bank Center on January 10th with keynote speaker Dr. James Healy, director of the Center for Family Ministry of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and advisor to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Marriage and the Family. The conference, which will offer a wide range of topics, is open to anyone interested in learning more about their Catholic faith.
and will feature talks in both English and Spanish, a youth track for 11 to 17-year-olds, a child care ministry for 3 to 11-year-olds, and a number of workshops dealing with marriage and the family. Doors will open at 7 a.m. with Mass at 8:30 with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. For complete details, call the Chancery Office, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/ministry-conference. Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. We're talking about October being Respect Life Month, and there are many, many more issues involved with Respect Life Month. Bishop, do you want to talk about those?
Well, I think some of the obvious ones, and there are others that may not be as obvious to us, but just some of the obvious ones to begin with is the death penalty. I mean, you know, I'm sometimes shocked at even some of our Catholic people who call for the death penalty, who call out for death. No one would affirm wrongdoing. No one would justify murder as, okay, that's, you know, that's a mistake, etc. People who do commit egregious crimes need to be punished, need to maybe be incarcerated. There were times in the history of the human race when you may not have been able to contain a violent, repeating criminal. I don't think that that's the case anymore. I mean, I think imprisonment is certainly effective now, and we're able to contain that and perhaps rehabilitate to a certain point, but certainly there are life sentences. I mean, I've been in prisons, and I don't know that I've, of course, I'm not there constantly, but I don't know that I would have a means and ability to escape. But anyway, besides that, regardless of that, I mean, once we justify the death penalty, and of course we've seen how some people are actually innocent on death row.
Oh, yes.
With the DNA tests and everything that's coming out now.
They find that out after the fact.
After the fact, and it's just something that we as a church do not completely embrace. There's always that one minute possibility where it could be justified, but that's very remote. And the Catechism, our Holy Father, Blessed John Paul II, said even that, it probably doesn't even exist. But we need to look at our attitude even toward criminals and wrongdoers. I know people are hurt. I know that it's difficult when someone's loved one or themselves has been violated in such a way. However, the issue is bigger than the one event. We're talking about life here. And this is a life that's gone wrong, and the system, the society needs to work with that person to put them away or whatever, to keep the rest of us safe or whatever. But we're talking about life, the issue of life, and that's where our own freedom, again, comes in. And once we are free within ourselves, we can see this objectively with our faith, that reason may say one thing, but our faith also says, let's look at this. This is a life. I've been so edified just watching people who have experienced terrible crimes in their family to forgive. Not to forget, not to justify, but to forgive. And forgiveness is the greatest expression of freedom. Mercy is a total expression of freedom. That doesn't mean the person, we just let them go and et cetera, et cetera. I think everybody knows I'm not trying to justify that mentality at all. But I'm talking about freedom, which is a sign of our dignity, and that we need to be able to come to that point with our faith to also forgive and show mercy against those who harm us in any way.
Well, remember when Pope John Paul II went to the prison and forgave the man who attempted to murder him.
Right.
And what a beautiful gesture that was for all of us.
Right. I've seen that picture in so many confessionals and places where people come in to speak about their hurts, and which are so real in life. But to see that picture there, it's such a sign to us that certainly he was a special man, but each of us, because we are human with dignity, we have the ability to do the same, and we should work at coming to that. Not as you said, about hardening hearts. It's not about that. It's working through things with, you know, it takes time. I mean, I'm not talking about an instant, but the goal for us as people of faith should always be, to be able to come to the freedom to say, I can forgive and have mercy. I mean, I'll always be hurt. I always need to return to this act of forgiveness, but I want to forgive because that's where my freedom is and where my where mercy is. Another issue I think which is really on the rise and something that is so harmful to the society, to people, is assisted suicide.
Yes.
When we, and of course this is where our faith is so strong in this, is that suffering has a redemptive value. When we close out that part of human life where we say no suffering and life becomes meaningless, then we can't close ourselves off to that. Life does have meaning in all stages, even amidst suffering. You know, again, I've seen even with when we're talking about the disabilities, when I have to care for someone who is at the end of life or suffering in some way, it draws something out of me. It draws something out of the caretaker, if we allow that to happen. If we see this is the plan of God. But to immediately go and to even allow our government to protect this kind of behavior or to validate this kind of behavior of assisted suicide is really an undermining of really our inalienable right to protect human life. Because, again, once you take away a life in whatever stage, whether it's at the beginning of life and at conception or at the end of life, we're all at risk. And because we have opened the door to a violation of human life across the board. So this is another area that we need to, as a church, continue to stand up in the public forum and say no, that we this is not part of human dignity to assist someone to take their own life.
Well, and I think that this is where some of our clergy and the physicians can help families who have a loved one who's going through tremendous suffering as to what's right. The right thing to do that's within our faith.
Exactly. And I think that's what, you know, is gathering people. We're a community. And if you need help, come to those who can help. And I'm so grateful in so many parishes that I've been associated with where the need has been seen and they gather together people who can be there, even the hospice movement. I mean, there's so many things out there, resources that can allow people to get through them. And certainly the church is compassionate with medications, you know, at the time when they're needed for palliative care and so many things that, but I know it's difficult and I don't experience it myself right now, but I don't know, you know, it could be that I'll come to that point too. So we all have to prepare ourselves. And this is where building a faith life through life, we're called to evangelize at all times. Maybe even at that point in life where we get to that point of extreme illness, that's a sign to other people. And that's allowing other people to assist me, which draws them into a life of service and charity. And who knows the effect we have on each other?
Exactly.
But when we just harden our hearts again to any kind of message that's different than just a rational this is bad, and therefore we get rid of it, then we've violated our own freedom.
Yeah, their choices.
Exactly. I think another one that we are aware of, all of us, is the threat to the family. That's a life issue because life begins in the family. Life is nourished in the family. The marriage of one man and one woman is fundamental to our society, fundamental to our faith. God created the male and female, and so that too is an issue that we can't just sit back and watch our society begin to validate all sorts of unions that are called family. That family is so essential to the vitality of human life. There's so much that goes on in the technical world, in medical technology. Stem cells from infants, from fetuses. When we're talking in terms of in vitro fertilization, I mean, they look good. I mean, people want a child, I understand. But all these technologies which really violate the natural law of the human being, which is their freedom, how we are created, and to cooperate with God's grace that way, We shouldn't be mesmerized by all the technological issues there. I'm not certainly against technology. The church, even in the Vatican, there's meetings a couple times a year with doctors and scientists to cooperate with them, but right. not ever violating the principle of the dignity of human life. And that this is where faith and reason have to work together. You can't have faith without reason. You can't have reason without faith. They've got to go together.
And as you mentioned before, this is where when you have the physicians and the priest working together to help the couples.
Sure.
So that they can make good choices.
Right. The other I would just say, and it's very pertinent to us in these times, is the economic situation that we're all facing right now. The economy is very difficult. Employment is down. Jobs, schools, helping educate, that's a right. That's a human right. It's a pro-life issue. And on and on and on and on, educating our young people in terms of chastity to let them really touch their own freedom. I do have a choice, but it's a choice that's a choice of faith and a choice that comes from freedom. So all of these issues, and there's more. I mean, we could go on and on, but I think especially at economic times, let us all be aware of our brothers and sisters that may be more in need. And certainly so grateful to Catholic Charities and so many other organizations in the city that help the poor, that reach out to them. This is serving life. This is serving people's dignity. In all of this, we all need courage and we need humility. To promote life does not need anger, does not need a combative spirit. It needs humility, love, and courage. And so during this month, we are focused on the issue of life, but let's not forget that it's an ongoing issue for the rest of our lives, one that will be with us for many, many, many years to come, in fact, forever.
Well, and even toward the end of our life. I want to let our listeners know that that the website for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, it's usccb.org, that's usccb.org, has some wonderful quotes from bishops and archbishops about, you know, this, if they want to read some more about it. And
exactly.
It'll be up all through the month of October.
And that's a good point. We all need to educate ourselves and not just be taken by every whim of teaching or thought that comes along. We need to educate ourselves in our faith, especially in this issue. So I would encourage everyone to go to the website and other places and learn the truth of life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. If you could say a prayer and a blessing for us, please.
May the Lord protect us in all that is good, and may He give us the truth of life and bring us to a dignity to share our life with others. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us today. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.